You're about to hear the only advertising program on the BBC. It's an entirely new experience in listening. It goes in one ear and lodges permanently in the frontal lobe of the brain. Yes, whether you like it or not, it's something to shout about. Michael Medwin, Eleanor Summerfield, Joan Sims, Fenella Fielding, Nicholas Phipps and Warren Mitchell bring you a light-hearted expose of the advertising world. Let's take a quick look round one of Britain's leading advertising firms, Apsley, Addis, Cohn, Barbican, Blythe and Gideon Partners. A small firm with big ideas. It's 10 a.m. and first we enter the office of that high-powered account executive, Michael Lightfoot. The three telephones are ringing madly, but it takes more than that to fluster Michael. He's still at home in bed. So let's go down to the typing pool. There we find Mavis Willis checking the previous day's work.
44, 45, 46. That means in the next row I cast off two and change needles.
Further along the thickly carpeted corridor, we find the office of Adrian Beals, the firm's leading copywriter. He's the man who writes all those compelling slogans you hear on TV.
I say, old boy, how about this? It's better, it's bigger, it's brighter, it's whiter, it's smarter, it's stronger, and it's yours for only ninepence.
Wonderful. What's the product?
I've no idea. But if one comes along, I'm ready.
In the office next door, Maggie Tufnell is planning a TV commercial.
Mr. Lightfoot's office, please. Hello, Janet. Is Michael around?
No, Maggie. I'm here on my lonely own, sir.
But he was supposed to be meeting me in my office at 9:30. Have you seen him this morning?
Oh, yes.
Well, he must be in the building somewhere.
No, I mean 3 o'clock this morning. He said goodnight and fell down the fire escape.
That was Janet Harris, Michael's personal secretary. But where is Michael and what's he doing? Not still in bed? No. No, he's in the middle of a traffic jam in Knightsbridge. But he'll get to the office.
Oh! Oh, if only my arms were longer.
Good morning, Janet.
Oh, Michael, I'm so glad you've come.
Why, has J.S. been asking for me?
No, I can't do the zip-wrap on the back of my dress. I wonder if you'd oblige.
Well, I always do. I say... I rather like this dress. It's sort of special.
Oh, it's just something I slipped into.
You didn't slip down very far.
Darling, stop looking over my shoulder and concentrate on the zip. You're tickling.
I'm sorry. I'll stop it.
Don't you dare. Now, Michael, you should be able to do up that zip. That's if you really want to.
Oh, darling, it's stuck. Surely you didn't come all the way to the office with it open like this.
Well, I had my coat over my shoulders. I did laugh when I was getting on the tube. The man shouted, "Mind the gap!" And I thought he meant me.
Oh, it's no good, Janet. I can't shift it.
Well, what am I going to do? I can't walk around the office all day with the back of my dress wide open.
Why not? I'll hang a little notice at the bottom saying, "Watch this space."
Crazy. Oh, darling, try again.
Morning, Michael. I was... Oi, oi, what's going on?
Nothing, Maggie. I'm just trying to zip Janet up.
The zipper's stuck.
Michael, out of the way. Let me do it.
Oh!
There. I must say, Janet, that's the most unsuitable dress for an efficient secretary that I've ever clapped eyes on.
Oh, don't you like it? Of course, you need the figure to carry it off.
You should have thought of that before you bought it. Now, Michael, we're all waiting for you in the big office. There's a conference on. Come along, Adrian's waiting.
Well, what's this conference about, anyway?
We have to dream up an advertising campaign for Bell Safety Locks.
Door locks?
Yes, it's a new sort of lock with an alarm device, guaranteed to frighten off all intruders.
What an unusual product.
Hmm. It's going to be hard to know where to place it.
We might try installing one at the top of Janet's zip.
Oh, Maggie, please, lay off Janet's dress.
Well, she shouldn't wear a thing like that in the office.
Maggie, I only wore it because Michael's taking me out to dinner tonight. We're going to the Crazy Kitchen.
What's that, some beatnik joint?
Joint? It's the greatest. It's the most way-out restaurant in Chelsea.
Whereabouts in Chelsea is it?
Finchley Road. Crazy.
Morning, Janet. morning, Adrian.
And about time, old boy.
We must get down to this bell safety lock campaign. J.S. wants it all buttoned up by tomorrow. No extravagant claims, just state the honest, straightforward reliability of traditional British workmanship.
Splendid, except for one thing. Bell safety locks are made in Hong Kong.
What else do we know about the product?
You obviously haven't read the report. These locks have a built-in alarm. If anyone tries to tamper with them, a bell rings.
How fascinating. Mm. I say, by the way, where's Mavis? Isn't she supposed to be taking notes?
I rang the typing pool. She's on her way.
Good. Now, how are we to advertise an unpickable lock? What field would be the most fruitful?
Well, let's steer clear of fields. I've never seen a field with doors.
The great thing about them is that they're self-locking and burglar-proof.
Yes, if a burglar gets in, he stays in.
Morning, all. They sent me up to take notes.
Mavis, you're rather late.
Well, I had a slight mishap. I was hard at it when I dropped my ball of wool in my coffee. But you see, it's all right now, because I put the wool through the typewriter roller and wrung it out. And then I was impeded en route by this bloke.
Which bloke?
Well, you know, the one putting the lock on the door outside.
What is all this about?
Oh, I'm having one of those bell safety locks installed on the door outside so that we can get familiar with it.
Well, the bloke installing it got very familiar with me. He wouldn't let me through the door, he wouldn't. He had nice curly hair, though.
Yes, good. Now, let's get on with the conference.
He offered to show me the bubble in his spirit level. I mean, I asked you, a total stranger.
Mavis, just sit down and take notes. We don't want a lecture in home carpentry.
What is that lock on the door for, may I ask?
Well, it's a special one. If anyone tampers with it, it starts ringing.
Oh, and I suppose the letterbox lights up and goes tilt.
No!
What sort of people worry most about burglars?
Burglars' wives.
You know, those people next door to us have got a thing about burglars. Do you know what they do? They turn on the telly and then go to the pictures.
I know the feeling.
Yes. So, you see, people would think they're in, you see. And then one night when they come home from the flicks, and guess what? Someone had pinched the telly.
I think if we aimed this campaign at the ordinary householder... oh, dear.
Hello? Mavis Willis here. Mr. Beals, it's for you.
Oh, well, thank you. Hello? Oh, yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, I am, dear. Yes, of course, dear. Yes, very good, dear. Goodbye, dear. That was the wife.
That was obvious.
She said she was ringing to remind me to be home early, but I know better than that.
You're not going home at all?
No. She rang to make sure I was actually in the office.
Can we please get back to bell safety locks? This conference is getting nowhere. Now, to sell it, we must have a gimmick.
Well, we could advertise it as a drip-dry safety lock.
Eh?
Well, it's made entirely of brass. It's non-iron.
Oh. Hey, wait a bit. I've got it. There's a thought going round in my mind.
And what is this strange thing orbiting in space?
Well, we ought to get some public figure to endorse the product. We have a photograph of a famous film star, and he's saying, "I'm giving my wife a bell safety lock for Christmas."
How do we know you'll still have a wife by Christmas?
I think it should be someone connected with the product so that their endorsement of a burglar-proof lock will mean something.
Well, why don't you get a well-known burglar?
Oh, splendid, Mavis. And how does one find a burglar who is well-known?
Well, I expect Scotland Yard will be able to help. I mean, they're ever so good at tracing people.
Wait a minute, Scotland Yard. What's the name of that detective inspector who's gone commercial?
Gone what?
You know, the one who's always on TV.
Inspector Negrain?
No. No, not him. He's French.
Oh, no, it's all in English. Last week, it was all about this man. He cut his wife up into five pieces with a bread knife and then went to the Costa Bravo. And you know, he forgot to tell the milkman, you see.
Oh, Maggie, I know who you mean. Inspector Dorian of the Yard.
Yes.
But do you think he'll endorse it?
Well, why not? Since he's retired, he spends his life on TV. At the moment, he's doing a series about famous police dogs.
That's right. It's called 4 Feet on the Beat. I'll send him a letter and ask him if he's interested.
Michael, a letter's no good. Telephone him. This campaign has got to be laid out today. J.S. insists.
All right, I'll get Janet to track him down. Oh, Mavis, just pick up that phone and get me inquiries.
All right. Here, what's their number?
Hello. Is that the television studios? I'd like to speak to Inspector Dorian, please. I have a call for him from Apsley, Addis, Cohn, Barbican, Blythe and Gideon Partners. From Apsley, Addis, Cone, Barbican, Blythe, and Gideon Partners. No, we aren't a balancing act. We're an advertising firm. Well, I'm surprised you've not heard of us. You'll tell him? Thank you. I think I've managed to trace him, Michael. He's doing a commercial about corn plasters.
Hello. Hello, Dorian here. Hello. Hello.
Well, just a moment. You're through, Michael.
Oh, hello, sir. This is Michael Lightfoot here.
Which foot?
Lightfoot. I'm an account executive for Apsley, Addis, Cone, Barbican, Blythe, Gideon Partners, and we were wondering if you'd endorse one of the products we're advertising, the Bell Safety Lock.
It's not a corn plaster, is it?
No, it isn't. It's a lock with a bell on it.
I'm not doing any more corn plaster commercials, I can tell you. My darn fool of an agent's fault.
Well, it's guaranteed unpickable, you see.
Everything literally he does. I said to him, I said, I want to get my foot in advertising, and by jingo, I have.
Now, well, about this lock, Inspector Dorian, I was wondering if we could have a little dinner sometime, discuss it.
Standing around naked up to the knee? Dinner? When? Where?
Whenever you like.
Tell you what, I've got a couple of hours free this evening. Should be through at the studio by 6:30.
Well, supposing we meet at Mason's Grill Room about 7. It's just around the corner from here.
Mason's. All right, my boy. See you at 7. Bye.
Did you fix it, Michael?
Nothing to it. I'm having dinner with him tonight at Mason's Grill Room.
Splendid.
Did you say tonight? You mean this very evening? This actual PM? Have you forgotten you're supposed to be taking me out to dinner?
Oh, I'm sorry, darling, but business is business.
And so is pleasure. Of all the nerve. Cast me aside like a discarded plaything, like a doll that's lost its squeaker.
Janet, don't fuss. Michael can take you out to dinner some other night.
But it was all arranged, Maggie. We were going to the Crazy Kitchen.
You must be mad. It's like a sewer with tables.
It's not. It's an absolute rave. They've got a fab menu. They serve everything, even food.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. We could go tomorrow instead.
But tonight there's a special attraction. They've got Slug Sloan's offbeat flippers.
Oh, sounds delicious, but I'm on a diet.
Darling, they have a music.
Yeah, I dig Slug Sloan. When he's really with it, he plays the double bass with his feet.
I don't wish to be personal, but what does he do with his hands?
He puts them over his ears.
Evening all, I've brought you that specified random report you wanted, Mr. Lightfoot.
Did I? Oh, what's it all about?
Well, don't ask me, I only typed it.
I shan't have any dinner at all, that is what I shan't have. I shall just go home and cry over an LP.
I thought you were having dinner with Mr. Lightfoot.
So did I, you see, that's the whole point. But I've been stood up, Mavis. Oh. Stood up for a man twice my age who advertises corn plasters. I mean, he isn't even attractive. They're in the same flat to eat.
Oh, poor Jan. I'll tell you what, on the way home, why not pick up a pork chop at the self-service?
I'm much too wounded to cook.
Oh, you don't have to cook them. You just set fire to the cellophane.
I say, Michael, why don't you take Janet with you? After all, she is your secretary.
Yes, why not?
Why not, indeed? Well, what do you think, Maggie?
Well, if you're going to represent the firm, Janet, you can't possibly wear that dress.
Why not? After all, we are an advertising firm.
Janet, if you go stalking into Mason's Grill Room in that little number, you'll frighten the waiters. It's the neckline, dear.
I think it's smashing. Mind you, I don't know where you tuck your serviette.
Now, Maggie's right. Can't go in that dress. It's too skimpy.
Skimpy?
Yes. My wife wears more clothes than that when she goes to bed.
Eh?
Well, these cold nights, she puts on my old rugger socks and my wind cheater.
They're dead sexy in Hampstead.
Janet, I really think you ought to go home and change into something more suitable.
I tell you what, suppose I put on long gloves and a lot of chunky jewelry.
Well, my mum says you can't go wrong in a little black dress.
Your mum obviously doesn't know Janet.
Oh, all right. I'll go home then and I'll rummage through my wardrobe.
Now, what about that ensemble you wore for the office party? The one with that lovely wide doeskin belt.
Doeskin belt? Oh, that was me. I had a bare midriff.
Oh, do hurry, Janet. We've got to meet the old boy in an hour's time.
All right, I'll get a cab and then I'll meet you at the restaurant.
Okay, fine, but get a move on, huh?
Oh, I just remembered. Drusilla won't be home yet.
Drusilla?
This is the girl I share my flat with. I'd better check I've got my key.
Well, here's your bag. Now hurry.
Well, it ought to be in here somewhere.
Well, didn't you have it when you left home?
Yes, but that was 3 days ago.
Look, old girl, you'll never find anything in that bag of yours unless you send down a ferret.
Empty it out on the desk.
All right.
Really? David Attenborough's gone round the world 3 times with less equipment than that.
Yes, but he doesn't meet the strange creatures that Janet does.
Indigestion tablets, aspirin, throat lozenges, earplugs.
Oh, come on, Florence Nightingale. There's the key to your front door. Look.
You should recognize it if anybody should.
Now, darling, I love you, but do hurry up. And bung that first aid kit back into your bag and scarf her off and get changed.
Okay, darling, I'm off. See you over in Mason's grill room in about an hour.
And don't forget to take that frock off.
I will.
And don't forget to put another one on.
There she goes. As happy as if she was in her right mind.
Michael, I do hope she won't let the firm down.
Ah, don't worry, Maggie. I say, before I go and meet Dorian, we must put the finishing touches to this campaign.
Yes, I still think the burglar angle's the right one, but we need a good slogan. Oh, come on, Adrian, that's your department.
Well, what would you do if you were woken up by strange noises?
I'd give my gran a dose of bicarb.
Oh, what about this? We have a picture of a woman in a nightie sitting up in bed. She's heard the noise of someone moving about downstairs. She's terrified.
Goodness.
Then she sees a man under the bed.
Ooh, who is it?
Her husband.
Why?
He heard the noise first.
Then we have the caption, "This could be you."
It has been, often.
As a matter of fact, the art department have already done a rough layout on these lines. I'll nip along to my office and get it.
Yes, do, Maggie.
You know, talking of burglars, only last week we were all roused in the small hours. But it was nothing to worry about. Only little Catherine falling out of bed.
Oh, the poor little mite. Was she hurt?
No, not in the least. But our spaniel made a terrible racket.
Wonderful how they know, isn't it?
Not really. Catherine landed on top of him. She's amazingly fond of animals for a child of 4 and a half.
It's this wretched door. I can't open it.
Well, let's have a look. Well, of course you can't open it. It's locked. Locked with a bell safety lock.
I know. I had it installed.
Once it's closed, it can only be opened with the key. Haven't you read the instructions?
Well, where's the key?
Well, it was on Mr. Lightfoot's desk.
Well, it's not there now.
But I saw it when Jan attempted her handbag. Oh, I know where the key is. In Janet's handbag.
Oh, good grief. But there must be another key.
There is, but it's in my office and we're locked in here.
You mean we're locked in and can't get out? Trapped.
You've got it, Mavis. Come on, everyone. Let's call for help.
Help! 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 We're locked in. We're locked in.
It's no good. It's after 6 and the building's empty.
But nearly 200 people work here.
Well, they're not here now. You know what they're like in this place. Watch the clock all day and the telly all night.
But we can't be locked in like this. It's ridiculous. I've got to get home and feed my Siamese cat.
Well, what about my mum?
She's old enough to feed herself.
Well, it's all right for you, lot. You haven't got a wife waiting for you. If I'm not home by 7, her imagination runs riot.
Well, I've got old Dorian to meet at 7. Adrian, we ought to be able to open this and lock. Mavis, you got a hairpin?
Here you are, but I'd like it back after.
Thanks. Now, we just put this in here gently and turn and... Oh,
you hit the jackpot!
Michael! Pull the hairpin out! You have the police up here!
Well, at least they'd get us out.
Fine publicity that would be. The campaign would be ruined before it started.
I know this sounds stupid, but why can't we ring up Janet and tell her to come round with the key?
Because the phone isn't connected. Our switchboard girl went home at 5:30.
Well, look, the switchboard adjoins this office. Well, let's see if we can work it.
Nothing to it, old boy. Maggie, you stay here. We'll try and ring Janet.
Well, there's the switchboard in all its mysterious glory.
I think there's something wrong with that switchboard. It's full of holes.
It's all right, Mavis. It's just that all the plugs are out.
Well, there seems to be more holes than plugs. Mavis, you're always in here nattering to Stella on the switchboard.
Yes.
Well, do you know what she does when she's here?
Yes.
What?
Knitting.
Wait a minute. I think I've got the hang of it. Mavis, you put on that headset and plug it in here.
Righty-ho.
Adrian, you dial Janet's number. It's Warwick 2211.
Right.
Now, I'll put on this headset and shove in a few plugs. Put one in here and one in there. Yeah, I think we're getting somewhere here. Hello?
Janet?
Oh, hello, Janet. Is it really you? You sound different.
Of course it's me.
Well, listen very carefully. We're locked in the office.
A Ah, yes, so are we.
Michael. You're speaking to Mavis. Let's try clicking this.
Oh, am I? I thought it was Janet making more sense than usual.
Wait a minute, I can hear something. Some bloke talking to his doctor. He's got a low temperature and an acute depression over his southern region.
Really, Mavis? Fancy listening to someone's private conversation. Give me the receiver.
This is the London weather forecast. There will be scattered showers in the southeast, but these will...
You're listening to the weatherman.
Oh, what a relief. I got quite worried when he said his wind might reach Galesford.
Something in here. The phone in the office has just rung.
Oh, really? Anyone we know?
Yes, your wife.
Oh, good Lord. Well, I suppose I'd better speak to her.
Yes, you certainly had. She nearly blew the earpiece off when I said you were sitting in the switchboard, girl.
Oh, really, Maggie? You might have put in more tact.
Honestly, Janet will have left the flat by now.
Try ringing her at Mason's grill room.
Okay.
I wonder how she's getting on with Inspector Dorian.
So, as I was saying, Miss Harris, I took one look at the body and said to the police surgeon, I think we ought to have an autopsy because the left arm is missing.
Would you care to order dinner, sir?
Oh, not at the moment, thank you. We're waiting for Mr. Lightfoot. Do go on, Inspector. I always thought murder was a gruesome business, Inspector. But somehow you make it all sound such fun.
Well, it's a job, my dear. It's a job, you know. I say, you know, where is this Mr. Lightfoot? He's terribly late.
Oh, I'm sure he won't be long. He's probably delayed at the office.
But what could he be doing?
With me here, I can't imagine. Let's have another drink. Yes. Waiter! Whiskey to you, Inspector?
Please.
Yes, madam.
Another whiskey for the Inspector, and I'll have a martini.
Anything in it, madam.
Vodka takes away the taste of the cherry. Mm.
Well, then, where's that boss of yours?
Oh, he'll be here soon. But go on telling him about Scotland Yard. I believe it's dreamy when the heather's out.
Well, a roar lot of youngsters they got there now, you know. Hear about that case last week? Burglar robbed a safe wearing kid gloves. One of these young detectives took the fingerprints and now he's out looking for a goat.
Pardon me, Miss Harris, but there's a telephone call for you. The phone is in the lobby.
Oh, thank you. Excuse me, Inspector. Do have yet another drink while you're waiting.
Whiskey, sir? Large or small?
Bring me the bottle and a straw.
Where is Janet? Where is she? If I don't get home soon, I'll be in the doghouse.
You mean that place in Battersea?
I wouldn't be surprised where I end up. Mavis, look out of the window. See if you can see her.
Righty ho.
Well, Janet shouldn't be long. When I spoke to her on the phone, she was just leaving the restaurant.
There she is, down there in the street. She's waving with her hand.
How very unusual.
Hello, Jan. We're all up here and we can't get out.
Well, I'm down here and I can't get in.
Why not?
It's a street door. It's locked.
Oh, Lord, I forgot about that.
Michael, we shall have to lower something out of the window for Janet to catch.
Janet, we're going to lower someone out of the window for you to catch.
Don't expect me to catch up.
Maggie, here's a ball of string. That should do it.
We'd better tie something heavy on the end, otherwise it'll blow about.
Something heavy. I know. Come here, Adrian.
You off your head?
Now, give me one of your shoes and hurry.
Oh, very well. Oh, I bet that's the wife. Hello? Yes, dear, it's me. Well, I'm still at the office. I'm sorry, I can't tell you. It's terribly confidential. Yes, well, it's because I'm taking off my shoes. Well, I can't stop now. Janet's waiting. Oh, dear. She slammed down the receiver. Women. All right, Michael, that's my shoe.
Good. Now, just tie it on the end of the string. All right, lure away, Mavis.
Righty-ho. Janet, here it comes.
What are you doing with a shoe and a bit of string? Fishing for a man?
It's to pull the string down.
I say, it's not long enough. It only reaches the second floor.
Oh, really? You'd think in those stiletto heels she'd be able to reach.
We need about another 40 feet of string.
Well, we haven't got it. I say, I wonder if we could unpick Mavis's sweater.
Not with me in it, you won't.
Just wondering if we could plait Adrian's moustache into a rope.
No, but we could use his old school tie and mine. Come on, Adrian, take it off.
Oh, all right, if I must.
I'll tie them in a knot.
Well, make sure it's a Windsor knot. Oh. Never did I think I'd be stripped of my old school tie. Really, what next?
Your old school braces.
No.
We need them, else the rope will never get down to the ground.
If you take them, something else will be falling to the ground.
Oh, come on.
Hurry up, it's cold down here.
Won't be long.
Hello? It's the wife.
Oh, Michael, you take it. If she asks how I am, tell her I'm holding up.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Beals. He can't speak to you at the moment. He's taking his braces off. Funny, she rang off.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Don't you worry, old boy. I think I explained everything quite nicely.
Thanks. With friends like you, one doesn't need any enemies.
We still need about another 10 feet on this rope. There's nothing left to tie on.
Well, there must be. Hey, girl, those nylons you're wearing, I wonder if they'd be long enough.
Well, I find them quite long enough to go as far as I want.
Yes, now, four nylons tied together. Yes, that should do the trick. Come on, girls, take them off.
All right, but don't look.
Well, I put my hands over my eyes, but my trousers would fall down.
Turn around, Adrian. We'll face the wall.
Coming over.
All right, thanks.
Here's mine.
Right, well, I've just tied these together, and then...
Hello? Oh, hello, Mrs. Beals. Maggie here. Oh, no, we're really working. Adrian, do be careful. You're laddering my nylons. Oh, she's rang off again.
Have you got the end of the rope, Janet?
Yes.
We'll put the key in Adrian's shoe and we'll pull it up. Okay, fine. Here it comes.
I say, there's a man talking to Janet.
Good Lord, I think it's Inspector Dorian.
Here comes the shoe. Take the key out, Mr. Beals.
All right, I've got it.
Oh, dear, I've dropped the rope. Ooh.
Oh! Oh, I've been struck on the head by a blunt object.
Now we know why detectives always wear hats.
Oh, never mind. Janet's consoling him.
I'm terribly sorry, Inspector. You all right?
Yes, apart from being struck on the head by this. Yeah, it's a shoe, I should think. Well, I'm speaking without a lab report, of course. It's all very suspicious.
But, Inspector, you were very clever to find me here. I left you in the restaurant.
Well, when you didn't come back, I decided to follow your scent.
Well, do you like it? It's called Instant Paradise.
Hmm. It's all got something to do with that office up there. I think we'll go in and investigate.
But you can't get in, you know, the street door's closed.
You're forgetting. You're with Dorian of the Yard. Nothing stops me. If I come up against a locked door, I can open it in 2 seconds.
You must come across some very amusing sights.
I'm sure I will when I get up to that office. You got a hairpin?
Trap people in their houses, you wouldn't endorse it.
Well, of course I wouldn't. But now that I'm here, I might as well have a look at that lock. That's not a bad job. Reciprocating tumbler mechanism, built-in alarm. This appears to be quite a good product.
Except that it locks people in.
Well, we were tripped.
And I got quite panicky. You see, I suffered from hydrophobia.
Hey, wait a minute. You weren't trying to get out. You were trying to get in.
Get in?
Yes, this lock's been fitted on the wrong way round. If it succeeded in keeping you lot up here, well, I think it must be quite good.
Well, you mean you'll endorse it?
Yes, providing we can come to terms.
Oh, I don't answer it. It's the wife.
I'll take it. Hello? This is Inspector Dorian of the Yard here. Well, I suppose you might say I've been called in to investigate a case of strange behavior. You see... Hello? That's most odd. Woman screamed and then fainted.
Crazy.
Well, it was probably the wrong number. But anyway, there's no point in hanging around here. Let's all go across and have dinner. Then we can button up the deal.
Jolly good idea.
Yes, I'm
come on, everybody. After you, Inspector. Come on, Adrian. Come on, time to go home.
Home? After what's happened tonight? I'm sleeping in the office. Good night.
Good night, Adrian.
Through no fault of your own, you've just heard Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Mavis by Joan Sims, Adrian by Nicholas Phipps, Inspector Dorian by Warren Mitchell. The script was written behind locked doors by Miles Rudge and Ronnie Wolfe and pushed through the keyhole
to our producer, Eric Miller, who has since shot his boat. Unfortunately, he missed.
Next week, we hope to give away free fingerprints to all our listeners. Would anyone like to lend a hand?